Blog Talk Radio.
Have you lost your mind? I mean, how is it that you can disrespect a man's ethnicity when you know we've influenced nearly every facet of white America, from our music to our style of dress, not to mention your basic imitation of our sense of cool, walk, talk, dress, mannerisms? We enrich your very existence, all the while contributing to the gross national product through our achievements in corporate America. It's these conceits that comfort me when I'm faced with the ignorant, cowardly, bitter, and bigoted who have no talent, no guts. People like you who desecrate things they don't understand, when the truth is you should say, "Thank you, man," and go on about your way. But apparently you're incapable of doing that. So, and don't tell me to be cool. I am cool. Racial epithets. Why does it always come down to that?
Huh?
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it's creeping for the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the radio, and welcome to the show. It is hump day. It is Wednesday, March the 20th, 2012. And sadly, today we have to talk about racism. And we have to talk about that word and how sometimes it's used when it's improper. You see, there is a difference in this world. There is racism and there is prejudice. Sometimes the two go hand in hand. And sometimes people like to drum that meme, drum that narrative, the word racist in this country. When we see a story and we get a knee-jerk reaction to it. Some of us have to knee-jerk. It's who we are. That's what it is that we do. Sometimes it's unnecessary. And we have to talk about the death of a 17-year-old boy in Orlando named Trayvon Martin. And there are plenty of aspects I want to jump into about this story because it's so complex. I know some people just say, hey, he shot the boy, boy's dead, he was wrong, he should go to jail. Now, it's a little more complicated than that. Because people have made it complicated. It doesn't have to be, but people have made it complicated. Because there's been this knee-jerk reaction. Now let's get to the facts. Back in February, a young man goes out to a store outside of his father's gated community. He goes out to buy some Skittles and an iced tea. He's walking, talking to his girlfriend on the phone. He tells his girlfriend that he's being followed. He doesn't know who by or why. The girlfriend hears an altercation between Trayvon Martin and the now reported self-appointed captain of the neighborhood watch, George Zimmerman. The altercation ends in a gunshot wound, a fatal gunshot wound, killing Trayvon Martin. And there have been people all over the place screaming racism. Would this have happened if he weren't black? Well, there's no way to tell that. We can only speculate. News reporters have been caught, and I use that word, caught, drumming that meme by asking the boy's father, do you think it would have happened if he were white? Well, of course the father thinks maybe not. We don't know that for sure. But there are mitigating factors. From the 911 tapes that were reluctantly released by the police department, we hear that George Zimmerman, the shooter, the alleged shooter in his case, referred to blacks as coons. That should be enough, right? It should be, but it's not. It's not enough to scream racism. But for me, it's enough to scream prejudice. George Zimmerman is half white and half Hispanic. And he is prejudiced. He prejudges people because of the color of their skin. That's what he does. That's who he is, like it or not. He cannot be called a racist. Because there is no proof and no evidence to show that he had any authority over any blacks. He may have wanted it. He couldn't join the police department. Self-appointed himself as captain of the neighborhood watch. And probably saw black people committing crimes, and therefore had a preconceived notion about black people in his community, therefore making him prejudiced. Now, if he was a cop with a badge, with the authority to stop people in the street based upon the color of their skin, this would make him a racist cop. But he had no authority. Racism applies authority. That's how racism works. Don't like it? Too bad. Get a frickin' dictionary. But it's the truth. George Zimmerman is prejudiced. And his prejudice took the life of an unarmed 17-year-old boy. But I've got problems with this case that you wouldn't even dream of. I have to quote someone here because it was brilliant. What a personal friend, and I would almost call him a partial family member, wrote today on Facebook in an exchange that he and I have had throughout the day. And he said something that I thought was, for me, personally, profound. He wrote, "But the kid lived just feet away from where he was killed. And just that statement alone says in his mind that we are all criminals." He's talking about George Zimmerman. He says, "And another thing, Reese, what kind of people hear a child screaming for help and no one comes out to help him? I know people called 911, but there was not one man who would come out of this house to see what was going on. And why is this child screaming? Like he was being tortured. What does that say about us as a society?" He says, "In Queens," and that's where Eric and I grew up, "if we would have heard that anybody would have been outside and they were screaming like that in the neighborhood that we lived, whites and blacks wouldn't have cared what color they were. They would have ran outside to see why this kid was screaming." And he's 100% right. No one came outside to see why this young man was screaming. That is a very important factor of all of this. And there are plenty others. One of my biggest gripes with this is the online petition. Only 500,000 signatures? That's it? Only 500,000 signatures. How long's it been, folks? Been almost a month. Why has the national outcry been so little? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because the state of our union today tells us that there are some people who still have an apathy, and I'm choosing my words here, an apathy towards our youth, especially our young black youth. Now, listen, don't start getting me wrong on this. In no way am I saying that because of the actions of other young African Americans that George Zimmerman had a right to do what it is that he did. That in and of itself is a separate issue. But we as a nation have become so far removed from our youth that the national outcry in this case is minimal. Some people think that saying 500,000 people have joined this petition is enough. It's not enough. There are over 38 million African Americans in this country. 500,000 signatures is barely a drop in the bucket. There should be a national outcry. It's being covered on every major network. Everyone is talking about it. Everyone is tweeting about it. Michael Moore tweeting about it. That's right. Famed documentarian Michael Moore tweeting about it. Tucker Carlson. Both sides of the issue. No matter who it is that you are, no matter who it is you like or dislike, they're tweeting about it. And the people in the media, they're all on top of this story. But no national outcry. The people are disengaged, which makes this a bigger issue, which goes to the point that Eric makes in what he said to me in his post on Facebook to me. When I grew up, a kid out there screaming, everyone in the neighborhood, black or white, would have been out there involved because it involves a kid. And yet no one moved. No one moved. And now everybody's being reactionary. People are trying to drum up some sort of outrage by painting George Zimmerman as a racist white man. But oh, then we found out that he's part Latino, so they backed off that. But again, this isn't about race. If you make it about race, people are going to run. This is about a young man walking down the street with Skittles and an iced tea. And a zealous, overzealous, prejudiced, half white, half Latino vigilante. And there should be some screaming outrage. But we can't have any screaming outrage until we have some sort of cause. And what cause are they choosing? Racism. Because it isn't enough that just an unarmed kid got killed. We can't drum up any outrage that way. We have to make it about his skin color. But isn't that missing the point? George Zimmerman is a fool. I said this when we first talked about it weeks ago. I said outright, he's a pussy. He walks down the street with a 9mm weapon. pretending to be a tough guy. Says that he's doing it because he figures he's protecting a community. But it is all about that need to be a hero. All about a need to be a savior. Watching too many cop shows. Thinking he is out to do some good. When deep inside, he's just a scared man. Frightened. Can't make a difference, so he's going to go out there with a gun and force the issue. If George Zimmerman was so tough, why is he running and hiding from death threats? What are you running from? What are you hiding from? You said it was in self-defense. Stand your ground, tough guy. Where's your conviction now? Because deep down there's a part of you that is where you're reevaluating who it is that you are. Not so much about what it is you've done. No, you're avoiding that. You're avoiding the death of this man. Because that would scare the crap out of you. You're not sitting around scared to death, crying about you killed a boy. No. You cowered away from that a long time ago when you said you were defending yourself from a bag of Skittles. You've got to pay for this. But the first thing you got to do is you've got to face who it is that you are. That's right, folks. He has to face who he is. And that's a punk. A scared man. And he's been frightened all of his life. When we were kids, you remember when we saw somebody we knew, or maybe somebody we didn't know, an egregious police officer, when we were teenagers, coming up and harassing the kids because they're sitting around smoking cigarettes, probably drinking a brew, talking to the girls walking down the street, hey, baby, what's up, cop rolls up, what you guys doing around here? You know, there's no loitering. So we hang out here every day. Yeah, we don't hang out here today. This is my street. You know what we all say when we walk away? He's probably some punk in high school. Wouldn't join the police force so he could harass people because he was a sucker in school. He probably used to kick his ass in the gym. We used to say that all the time. Folks, wouldn't George Zimmerman apply to that criteria? Wouldn't that be who he is? Couldn't make it in the police force? Short, dumpy kid? Couldn't make it? Couldn't make it. Couldn't hack it. But he had to be out there. They say he made over 46 calls to the police department. 46. All false alarms. And a majority of the calls he made were towards blacks. Towards blacks. It gives you a little insight into who it is George Zimmerman is. And like I said, it isn't racism. He's not a racist. He prejudges people. It's probably why he never made the police force. Probably couldn't pass the aptitude test. Probably couldn't pass one test. Couldn't pass the psych exam. They're always getting away with stuff. They're always getting away with stuff. He was fed up. I'm going to get him this time. Yeah, I'm going to get him this time. You've seen the pictures of George Zimmerman, fat guy, chubby guy. A little beard, kind of dumpy looking. He's a 140-pound boy. 140 pounds, folks. He's got to pull out a gun? A gun? You mean to tell me that George Zimmerman couldn't wrestle down a 140-pound-year-old boy? So he pulled out his gun? A lot deeper than you think, folks. Gotta be a little more thoughtful about this whole breakdown. About the breakdown of this whole case. But don't worry, it's going to be racism all day. Russell Simmons down there, he's down there. Oh, you know. Everybody's favorite race baiter, good old Reverend Al Sharpton, is down there. It's going to be mayhem before you know it, folks. Mayhem before you know it. And thank God we have not seen Al Sharpton on any news outlets. I know he's probably on MSNBC talking about it. But all the rest of those other news outlets, they're not giving him one stitch of coverage. Which I commend the news media for doing. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's Reese on the Radio. More racism, I promise you. A lot more racism today. Robert De Niro, Tom Hanks, it's all racism right here on Reese on the Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock-solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah.
proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back, 8:28 Eastern Standard Time, 28 minutes after the hour, on this hump day, Wednesday, the 20th, 2012. What? Oh, it's Tuesday. What am I doing? I'm way ahead of myself. I'm already thinking it's the halfway through the week. It's Tuesday. Thanks. Thanks for correcting me, JC.
JC, I'm the one that corrected
Well, no,
you.
I meant he was here earlier when I said Wednesday, and he didn't even correct me.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute, I'm the one that corrected
yes,
you.
Yes, you're the one who corrected me. I should have said, that's right, it's Tuesday. Wow, am I really off. Anyway.
I wish it was Wednesday.
We talked.
I thought you said Tuesday.
I never heard hump day,
or I would have said something.
I totally said hump day. Anyway, no big deal. Anyway, but I made this stupid mistake. But moving on. JC,
yeah.
Based on what I said in my opening monologue, do you agree or is there enough to cite racism here? I mean, I think I succinctly broke down the difference between prejudice and racism.
I think where the racism comes in at, sadly,
yes,
is in the system that hasn't done anything about it yet.
Fair enough. I agree there.
I mean, clearly when they released the 911 tapes, or even the dispatch tapes.
Right, his 911 call.
Right, he was told not to follow.
Right.
He was told not to follow the kid. Just leave him be and let them, they'll come and handle it.
Right.
But he went out, struck out on his own without them.
Which is clearly, I mean, I made that point. This guy is an overzealous wannabe cop.
Yeah.
Who, you know, he's got this grudge, you know, probably because everybody out there does crime. Oh, they don't appreciate me. They don't appreciate what it is that I'm trying to do.
Everyday Paul Blart.
Yeah, exactly. right. Everyday Paul Blart. And
hey. I love that movie.
It was a good movie.
That was hilarious.
But the breakdown is, you know, look, you know, the guy wants to be on the police force. He gets turned down. He doesn't take his animus out on the police force, but he takes it out on the criminals out there because he's going to show the police.
He's not taking it out on criminals because this boy was not a criminal. He had iced tea.
I'm not saying that the boy was a criminal in saying that, but I'm saying that his thought process.
He's assuming that people
right,
are criminals.
Right, exactly. And he clearly
based
he can't.
Based on their outer appearance.
If this, like I said, if he had become a police officer, imagine how horrible the surrounding town of Orlando would have been.
It can't be any more horrible than what it is, because look at the police officers on the force now.
It
they
should
have arrested him.
It would have been worse.
They should have arrested him.
He's going.
Now they got to worry about all these Negroes invading Disney.
It's
folks who couldn't normally go down to Disney.
If he would have been accused of raping the kid, they would have arrested him.
You're probably right.
On the spot.
Absolutely. But the bottom line, what's going to be
with
is,
no evidence.
Right. They are going to. Wow. They're going to definitely go after this kid in every possible way. So.
Well, they're taking their sweet time. It's been long enough for his attorneys to come up with a hell of a defense. And that's going to botch the case right there.
Well. Okay. Let me hear this correctly. Here's what my point is, okay? And just tell me whether or not you think that I'm being accurate here. Do you believe that what happened in this particular case was a matter of prejudice or racism involving George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin? That's my question.
Both.
Well, tell me where you think it's racism. On the part of George Zimmerman, not the police, on him.
Because if the kid would have been white, he probably wouldn't have shot him. He probably wouldn't even have called the cops.
We can't tell that, though. There's no way to know that.
What does he say on the 911 call?
He does make a reference
to the
word effing coon.
Oh, that's even almost worse than calling him the N-word.
I'm not disputing that.
A coon?
I'm not disputing that.
Yeah, that's
but I don't
racism.
Think that's, let me explain to you why I said it's not racism. Because racism, you have to have an authority over the individual.
He did. He had a pistol.
Not in the beginning. Not in the beginning. He doesn't. He has a pistol on him, but it's not racism. Had he been a police officer and he was targeting him with the authority, then it would have been racism.
But
this
he was
prejudice.
Targeting him.
No, this is a
he was targeting anybody because he appointed himself
right.
the chief of the neighborhood watch.
Right.
Self-appointed.
And you don't think that his motives were based on prejudging someone?
Let's just say, hey, the dude is nuts and he needs to be taken off the street.
Absolutely. But don't you think that his movement, everything he does is based on prejudging Trayvon Martin? The precipice, the genesis of
yeah,
his...
I mean, I don't care what words you want
to
use.
Well, you
I don't
have
care
to.
What term.
You have
no.
to. You have to. Let me tell you why. Because now they're looking for hate crime. And they're not going to be able to prove
it
that this was a hate... No,
I
they're not
going
to be able to prove that this was a hate crime. That's why I'm bringing this up. It's never, ever going to be proven that this was a hate crime.
Zimmerman, what is that, Jewish?
I don't know if he's part Jewish, but I know his mother's Spanish.
Yeah, I think his father's Jewish.
Zimmerman,
yeah, but, you know... Here's the thing that really, really ticks me off.
Go ahead.
He appointed himself as basically the law of this little gated community.
Somewhat.
And he walked around. He walked. Pardon me?
I said somewhat. Go ahead.
Okay.
I agree with that part.
And he'd walked around and had already made, some 40-something calls to 911 that were all false calls.
Yes, they were all false alarms.
Now, I'm sure that's happened over time.
Sure.
And with all these people living in that community... Nobody during that time stepped up and said, well, wait a minute. Something's wrong with this guy?
Okay,
it appears as a blatant case of
negligence.
Because it doesn't immediately affect me, to hell with it.
Okay.
Because they had to have given him the authority to do so. I mean, who, if I had some strange man running around my building talking about he's security and block watch, and I know everyone that lives here would have to be involved in that block watch, and we didn't have a meeting on this guy, and this guy appointed himself, and he's walking around harassing people, he should have been out of there a long time ago.
Absolutely, but there were no complaints filed against George Zimmerman. None.
Right.
Well, where were the police? if you or I would call the police 47 times, they'd be over here like, excuse me, hello.
Well, it's to the point that they knew.
It's
to the point that I know they had to have a relationship with 911.
I believe he did. I believe he had some sort of relationship with 911. And if he didn't have a relationship with 911, I'm sure he was one of their usuals.
Well, that's apparent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a malfeasance by the police department. There's no denying that here. But again, the screaming of racism, that's the biggest problem we have here. One, we got to stop using the word racism because I'm telling you, they're going to go for hate crimes. Listen to what I'm telling you. They're going to charge him with a hate crime. If they cannot prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this was a hate crime, they are going to lose this case. And we're going to watch a guy who's probably going to lose his gun privileges and do 6 months in jail for a manslaughter charge or an involuntary manslaughter charge. This is the reason why you got to tell these people and these attorneys, stop going for this.
But it had to have been a hate crime. He says these effing coons keep getting away.
He didn't call Trayvon an effing coon.
He associated him with other black people. Yes, it does.
If he walked up to him, hold on. Here's a different thing. If he walks up to him, right, and he says, I'm getting out of the car. If he had walked up to him because Trayvon was black and fired a weapon and shot him, that's a hate crime.
But he
because
did.
Of, no, that's not what happened. The fact that Zimmerman can prove not only does he have a bloody nose, but he's got a cut on his face because he tussled with the boy. Okay? The boy fought back. He claims that it was self-defense. Now,
How do you know he didn't bloody his own nose and scratch his own face?
Well, actually, there's a witnesses there that say once it came outside, the one guy who called, the police officer said it happened behind his porch, he came outside and he looked outside. And he saw the shooting take place. But the bottom line is that...
But did he see the tussle take place?
And the phone conversation, you can hear the girl on the phone who says that she told him to run. He confronts George Zimmerman and says, what are you following me for? That's on the phone call.
Well, that's not a license to kill him.
Again, we're not saying that. But again, the intent, it's a hate crime if I intentionally kill you or shoot you because you're black. That's not what George Zimmerman's intent was.
But I'm intentionally approaching you because you're black.
No, he's intentionally approaching
you. Because you're an effing coon.
No,
And this effing coon ain't going to get away.
Right, but he's
And
under,
I'm going to make sure of that. I don't care what the police department
I'm not
say.
Disputing that, but he's under the premise of saying that he believes Trayvon is up to no good. It doesn't matter whether or not he thinks because he's black he's up to no good. Is that, was it reasonable to believe in George Zimmerman's mind that this young man was up to no good, which is why he approached him?
Not with a bag of Skittles in his hand and an iced tea.
Doesn't know what he has in his pocket, but can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that George Zimmerman, although he may be prejudiced, his intent was not to approach him because he was prejudiced. You can prove that. I'm telling you, it's never going to see the light of day. If he's charged with a hate crime, I'll be stunned.
I'm telling you, it will see the light of day, and it's going to see the light of day, especially because of all this stuff that just happened with what's-her-name, getting away with killing her own kid, getting off. Florida cannot take any more bad press like this. They can't.
Trust, Florida's not going to get it right.
I'm telling you, I know they're not going to get it right.
And when they get done with all these Negroes who otherwise couldn't afford Disney World vacations that are jumping on these buses to go down there to protest, finding their way over into that park.
the only thing that I see happening here, and it's going to be the right course of action for the feds if they do get involved, if there is a civil rights violation. He violated, that's the only thing that's clear here, is that Trayvon Martin's civil rights were violated.
Then you're calling out the civil rights band. Al Sharpton's going to be the lead singer.
Exactly. But it's a civil rights. But you know what the FBI is going to say to Al Sharpton? Get out of my face.
This is our case.
This is our case. We don't need you. And this is the Justice Department, which is run by whom, folks? Eric Holder from Laurelton, Queens. Black man.
Oh, is he from?
That's right. He is going to prosecute this to the fullest extent of the law. He will make sure it's already gained the attention of the President of the United States. So you can trust there is going to be a civil rights violation.
I'm telling you, I was really, really blown back. I mean, today was the first time that I actually heard.
Jason, you sit on the front step?
What? I heard a fire truck. You cooking dinner?
Is everything all right? Wait, he went off. It ain't your house, is it? Hello? JC?
No. I believe it or not, I am in my bedroom.
Wow, that's pretty loud, buddy.
Oh, man.
Are you in your bedroom with the window open, my man?
Yeah, of course. It's 80 degrees up here.
Well, you ain't got no AC?
Yeah, I got AC, but why are you turning on my AC? It's a nice cool night.
Well, it ain't no 80 degrees then.
What I mean, it was 80 degrees all day. It's like, what, in the 50 now?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. All right, when we take a break.
Stop saying what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. What? What am I saying?
You said the same thing I said at the same time.
What did I say?
A couple times.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Is he right?
But you both said it at the same time, so how do you know he didn't say it first?
No, he didn't say it first. I said it first.
All right, fine. Anyway, when we get back, let's take a quick break. When we get back, Robert De Niro, racist comments at a fundraiser for the First Lady of the United States in New York. Oh yeah.
For?
Did he like brown sugar?
No. It was a fundraiser for the First Lady of the United States, and before introducing her. Makes a racist comment.
Against her?
Oh, no.
For her.
But he makes a racist comment nonetheless. That's right.
He didn't get away with it. He indulged in
denounced his whiteness?
No. Practically. We'll talk about it when we get back. It's Reese on the radio.
He's Italian from Sicily.
It means nothing.
Italians are black anyway.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day, and we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" Was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like, he didn't even talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like, some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letter.
They is treating us good. We all tyrannous. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport.
You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know it was black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, hello? We have got five black... Hello?
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio at 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. The police, I'm not joking.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back 47 minutes after the hour right here on this Tuesday, March the 20th, 2012. So, like I always say, it's racism all the time right here on Reese on the radio. And trust me, I've got two great racism stories to tell you. First, I'll tell you this one. And it involves, of course, two American icons. Two. American acting icons. The first one, of course.
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio.
Sorry. I probably apologize if I hit the wrong button there. Two American icons. The first one, famed actor Robert De Niro. According to a report, Robert De Niro was at a fundraiser for the First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama, who is in New York. She had also done David Letterman's show last night. I didn't bother to watch it. Didn't care. But she was there. So while Robert De Niro was introducing the First Lady, Michelle Obama, he says, Calista Gingrich, Karen Santorum, Ann Romney. You all know who they are. Gingrich's wife, Rick Santorum's wife, Mitt Romney's wife. Now, do you really think our country is ready for a white First Lady? Someone in the crowd said no. And Robert De Niro responded, yeah, too soon, right? Newt Gingrich, who heard about this, responded, what De Niro said last night was inexcusable, and the president should apologize for him. It was an Obama fundraiser, and it is exactly wrong. It divides the country, which is exactly what it does. Now, you know who Robert De Niro is. He loves the brown sugar, as they say. I don't know who that woman is that he was married to, is with, whatever her name is, Hightower or something. He used to be with Tukey Smith.
Smith?
Another black woman.
Her name was Tukey?
Yeah, she's a famous black woman. Get some background on Robert De Niro's love of the Negro.
I would have called her Tuk Tuk.
Whatever.
Big Bird, I used to call her.
What's Robert De Niro's Negro love life?
Naomi Campbell. He's been all over the place.
Yes, yeah, so he loves the brown sugar. He loves black women. It's crazy about it.
Okay.
So, in of course, trying to make sure that he stands out there for the brothers.
He denounces his whiteness.
He speaks up for the black man. The opposite of what it is that they accuse Herman Cain of doing, talking down the blacks so he can curry favor with whiteies. See, Robert De Niro, it's okay for him to curry favor with the Negroes. It's all right. But guess what happened? Who do you think threw him under the bus? Take a wild guess.
I already know. I read the story.
Who?
Newt Gingrich.
No!
Who threw him under?
Obama?
Damn right! The White House said that De Niro's statements were inexcusable and inappropriate.
They didn't have any choice.
You're damn right they didn't.
But they still
so now that they've done
they
right, are you going to give them credit?
They still haven't gone after Bill Maher yet.
And they're not going to go after Bill Maher, but they know.
Or
see,
Maher,
the whole
whatever.
Point is that, see, no matter what it is, see, Rush Limbaugh is getting all of this flack, but then people are still on the left doing what it is that they said that they denounced Rush Limbaugh for. They denounced Rush Limbaugh for calling Sandra Fluck. Oh, by the way, do you know about the update on Sandra Fluck, JC?
I don't either.
Oh, you don't know? Okay.
No, what did she do?
Oh, it gets better. It gets better. Okay, so you know why she went to the congressional hearing,
oh, yeah,
right?
I know.
She claimed that, you know, $3,000 to pay for, what's the name, birth control was too expensive for a law student like her. I hear she's on this this very expensive vacation for spring break. She's hanging out with a boyfriend.
Oh, that I didn't hear that.
Yeah! And she's
she'll say her boyfriend funded it.
Well,
then her
matter.
Boyfriend should fund her birth control.
No kidding. And she's out there. She's on this excursion for spring break. Oh, and it gets better. She's also got a booking agent now. And guess who her booking agent is?
Former White House somebody.
That's right. Anita Dunn. Former communications director. Straight out of the White House. And you notice Sandra Fluck hasn't been in the media anymore, right? She's been gone.
Yep.
She's missing.
That's
nowhere
she's on
to be
vacation.
Found. She's on vacation, but nobody's booking her anymore because they know that she's nothing more than a hack. So she's gone. And, oh, by the way, Barack Obama's poll numbers still continue to plummet. I don't even have to say that. Says it in the story. So that's that. Now, when we get back, I have to talk about it, but I want to talk about something else before we get into the other big story in the news. I have to talk about this, and I want to make sure I get into Tim Tebow in the next hour, and get into Peyton Manning, because there's been some breaking news involving Peyton Manning and Tim Tebow. Tebow! Sorry, got to do that every time I say his name. Peyton! Whatever. You're not even a Denver fan.
I'm not a Denver fan. I'm a Peyton fan.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway,
which means now I'm going to have to learn a whole new team. Ugh, blah, blah, blah. Because I keep up with Peyton Manning. So now I have to, I mean, I knew some stuff about the Colts. So now I have to find out some stuff about the Broncos.
Can we save it?
No, not really.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Here is some racism that I think all of you will enjoy.
Who doesn't enjoy any racism?
Facebook.
Oh, Lord.
A new charge of racism in Facebook when a black man during a job interview, the employer asked for his password to his Facebook account. When he questioned them, they said, quote, "We just want to know if you have any gang affiliation."
What?
Oh, yeah. This is the reason why.
What employer was this? What company?
I don't
was
know
this?
What it is, but I will get the rest of the story. But they are saying that they were questioning him based on gang affiliations. They wanted to be certain that he wasn't affiliated with a gang. Now, I got to ask one question, because this would baffle the hell out of me. If, let's say, I worked at, I don't know. I want to say, not okay, maybe not Goldman Sachs. Let's say I worked at...
just because we just saw that movie.
I know. What if I said I worked at Caterpillar, the construction company.
Okay.
That makes all the trucks and stuff.
Yeah.
I worked at Caterpillar.
The equipment.
Yeah, the equipment manager. how would a gang affiliation affect what it is that I did there?
Because they might want to steal the equipment.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What gang? What would a gang do?
You might know.
Equipment?
You might know where there's a construction site with lots of copper.
Hello, I got my hand up.
What's that?
He said hello.
I got my hand up.
Go ahead, please.
I've got a nephew who the Atlanta, Georgia, has Georgia Bureau of Investigations has put up a website for him and his gang and all of the tractor-trailer equipment they've stolen up and down the Eastern Seaboard, asking if your equipment is missing, report it to this particular website. So, yeah. What's that?
Go ahead, Jake. Most thefts in companies are always inside jobs.
I'll link you to my nephew's page with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
This seems far-fetched to me.
That's what I just said seemed far-fetched?
Yes, it seems far-fetched that you would have to get my Facebook. I mean,
come on.
Just follow, just watch me at my job, and you can find out whether or not I'm a criminal. You know, I mean, that's what you have security cameras for. But isn't your gang affiliation your own private business? I mean, come on. Yeah, here it is.
I'd imagine so.
Of course you'd imagine so it would have to be.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, that's your private business. And and who's to determine that that's a gang?
Mm-hmm.
That would be my question.
Let me see if I can get this story, because I wait for the stupid computer to load. But let me see. It says, when Justin Bassett interviewed for a new job, he expected the usual questions about experience and references. So he was astonished when the interviewer asked for something else, his Facebook username and password. Bassett, a New York City statistician, had just finished answering a few character questions when the interviewer turned to her computer and to search for his Facebook page. But she couldn't see his private profile. She turned back and asked him to hand over his login information. Bassett refused and withdrew his application, saying he didn't want to work for a company that would seek such personal information. But as the job market steadily improves, other jobs candidates are confronting the same question from prospective employers, and some of them cannot afford to say no. In their efforts to vet applicants, some companies and government agencies are going beyond merely glancing at a person's social networking profiles instead of asking to log in to the user to have a look around. It's akin to requiring somebody's house keys, said Orrin Kerr, a George Washington University law professor and former federal prosecutor, who called it an egregious privacy violation. Questions have been raised about the legality of the practice, which is also the focus of proposed legislation in Illinois and Maryland that would forbid public agencies from asking for access to social networks. Since the rise of social networking, it's become common for managers to review publicly available Facebook profiles, Twitter accounts, and other sites to learn about job candidates. But many users, especially on Facebook, have their profiles set to private, making them available only to selected people or certain networks. Companies that don't ask for passwords have taken other steps, such as asking applicants to friend human resource managers or to log into a company computer during an interview. Once employed, some workers have been required to sign non-disparagement agreements that ban them from talking negatively about an employer or on social media. Asking for a candidate's password is more prevalent among public agencies, especially those seeking to fill law enforcement positions such as police officers or 911 dispatchers. Back in 2010, Robert Collins was returning to his job as a security guard in Maryland Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services after taking a leave following his mother's death. During the reinstatement interview, he was asked for his login and password,
purportedly so the agency could check for any gang affiliations. He was stunned by the request, but complied. That is just crazy. Well, I can understand working with the, because he's working with the correctional facility. Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it was possible, but there are a lot of gang members in the correction.
Yeah.
Oh, you know this as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I did.
Neither did I.
You didn't know that there was a lot of gang members where?
In, I didn't know that.
Working as COs?
Yeah, working as corrections officers.
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all. I was, oh, I was completely
stunned.
Don't
you watch TV?
It's not about watching TV. I don't leave the television to, you know, for me to find out what it is that's going on.
Well, where else are you going to find out?
I mean, there's shows about it. There's reality shows about it.
I didn't even know any of that.
It's not something that really, that often makes the news.
Yeah.
No, but there's reality shows about it. I mean, they show that on Locked Up.
Well, I did not know. Anyway, it's the top of the hour. I didn't even realize the time. You guys got
Discovery ID.
Yeah, I know. All right, we'll go to the top of the hour. We'll be back.
You know the damage one ignorant Negro can do. We were in France in the First War. We'd won decorations. But the white boys had told all them French gals that we had tails. Then they found this ignorant colored soldier. Paid him to tie a tail to his ass and run around half naked making monkey sounds. They put him on a big round table in the Café Napoleon. Put a reed in his hand. Crown on his head. Blanket on his shoulders and made him eat bananas in front of all them Frenchies. Oh, the white boys danced that night. Passed out leaflets with that boy's picture on it. Called him Moonshine. King of the monkeys. And when we slit his throat, you know that fool asked us what he had done wrong.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said na da da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back 4 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday, March the 20th, 2012. And as I said, it's racism today. Racism all day. Right here on Reese on the Radio. Now, look, I'm not the one to scream out who is and who isn't racist. I don't do it. Never have, never will. I told you. I think before I speak, I don't have knee-jerk reactions to anybody. But the question's got to be raised. Is Tom Hanks a racist?
Against who? White people?
Blacks.
Why is he endorsing Obama?
Oh, well, that's just easy. The story tells the story itself. You see, I said this yesterday in my disagreement with our resident Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery. Partisanship plays a role when people expose certain things. And apparently, in 2004, Tom Hanks was at one of his kids' school benefits. They were raising money. And Tom Hanks was one of the auctioneers with Eagles rocker Glenn Frey. Now, for those of you who know the Eagles, you know, welcome to the Hotel California. Yeah, those guys.
Wow. Bad.
I don't care if it was bad.
That was bad.
I wasn't trying to sing.
Yeah, but you didn't even make it sound like
I
anything.
I didn't try at all. Well, the folks over at the Daily Caller have obtained a video that the Congress of Racial Equality national spokesman Niger Innes has rightly called an orchestrated, heinous, and racist step-and-fetch-it routine that Mr. Hanks was a part of. You can watch the video yourself at ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Just log on. It's the front page story. And what is a disconnect? While the Academy Award winner and Obama supporter Tom Hanks and Eagles musician Glenn Frey parade around the worst racial stereotype imaginable and mock Republicans, I guess they believe that inoculates them from bathing in open racism. Innes also called on President Obama to move Tom Hanks as the narrator of the recent propaganda film the White House has just released called The Road We've Traveled. It's a 17-minute video that Tom Hanks is narrating. And for those of you who don't know, Tom Hanks also is the producer of the Sarah Palin hit job called Game Change on HBO. Because he's an Obama supporter. But anyway, they say this is a story that has legs, and it should be interesting to see how Hanks, the White House, and Hollywood especially in the media react. So the videotape, which was obtained by the Daily Caller, shows Tom Hanks and Eagles musician Glenn Frey at a 2004 fundraising auction playfully interacting with a white man dressed as an African native, complete with blackface, makeup, and a giant Afro wig. Hanks most recently, yeah, I already said that. Anyway, the fundraiser was held on March 13th in 2004 at St. Matthew's Parish School in Pacific Palisades, California. It featured Hanks and Glenn Frey as the co-MCs. Children of both men attend the school, and the event's theme was Castaway, which I think is supposed to be, of course, you know, based on Tom Hanks' 2000 movie or whatever it was. This is an interesting side note, that the man in blackface is investment banker James Montgomery, who's the CEO of the Santa Monica, California firm called Montgomery & Company. In addition to blackface makeup and the wig, Montgomery wore a leopard print toga and an armband that made it look like it consisted of animal teeth. During a lull in the auction, Frey refers to Montgomery and comments, "See how boring money management and stock investment is, people. It's not nearly as much fun as like professional basketball." So, now Tom Hanks isn't caught saying anything remotely as vile as Glenn Frey. But he's laughing at the jokes and saying, "Hey, come on, folks, come on, give your money, blah, 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 blah." And laughing along with the jokes made by Glenn Frey. Question is it racist? Your thoughts, Mary?
I mean, I don't know. I don't care.
What do you mean you don't care?
I don't know.
Come on, you think that that's okay for him to be walking around with this guy with blackface on and at an event where they're collecting money for a charity?
Yeah, I see it.
Come on! These are supposed to be they're supposed to be the understanding, the most caring, the most giving, the most racially tolerant.
I mean, was he high?
It's a school event.
Not a school event.
So? He could have been high. I mean,
but it's a school event.
Well, if you're high, you would be do something stupid like that at a school event.
Really?
I mean, why would you do that otherwise?
So you don't think this is racist?
I'm not saying that it's not racist. I don't know what.
Did he not learn from Ted Danson?
Is not.
Yeah. What do you think about Ted Danson when he dressed in blackface at the Friars Club roast of Whoopi Goldberg when they were dating? It was Whoopi and his idea that he dress up in blackface then. That everybody thought that
was violent. I hate that term, that blackface term. I don't like it. I know, but I just don't like it.
What do you mean you don't like it?
I don't like that term. I don't like a blackface.
Well, that's what it's called.
But what does that represent?
Al Jolson, the minstrel show? They wouldn't hire blacks. They wouldn't hire blacks to do the minstrel show. So what they did, the guys like Al Jolson, in order to portray blacks on stage in vaudeville event, would put blackface
and then black paint all over their face.
Blacks up on their face, put on blackface, and perform
and big red pink lips.
And put big red lips. Yeah. Yes.
No wonder I don't like that term.
Of course, it's racially insensitive.
I don't like it. It sounds so disgusting.
And considering that, remember when we played that video of ish white girls say to black girls?
Yeah.
And you remember she says, "What's the thing with blackface? Is that still an issue?" Remember that?
I know because I didn't. I don't remember hearing that.
Don't pay that close attention to that. So that line was kind of, it was kind of muddled.
Because white girls will ask that, "What's the thing about blackface? Is that like still a big deal?"
Oh yeah. My God, yeah. I wouldn't.
So again,
it's
here's
insulting.
Tom Hanks.
It's very insulting.
Here's a guy who's a Hollywood elite who claims
it was really stupid.
This is stupid.
It was
idiotic.
This
is the best you can come up with is stupid?
It was idiotic.
It was racist for George Zimmerman because somebody died. But this is right in front of a blatant man in blackface with a leopard toga with bones around his neck, around his arm, holding a gorilla.
A gorilla.
What do I have to do?
Was he like the
put
black,
a bone in his nose?
Was he the black version of Tarzan?
I don't know what he got on an afro.
He had on a big, huge Angela Davis, Michael Jackson, 1976 afro.
That's not the black version of Tarzan. This is afro, animal teeth, blackface, holding a gorilla with a leopard toga. What
a gorilla.
Else? A gorilla? I mean, what do you have to do?
I don't get it.
Bring
I
your
mean, I don't
dumpy
get
little
why.
Fat sister in, put her in blackface, give her an Aunt Jemima scarf and call her Mammy?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. What more could you possibly ask in order to depict? We don't know anything that was in the mind of George Zimmerman. All we know is that he's part white. We know the kid was black. The kid is shot and killed. We know he used the word coon. That's all we know. He called them effing coons. Racism. This, I give you clear evidence. Sitting in the video, you go, I don't know. What's it going to take? And she's silent. I'm stunned by it. I don't even know where to go. I'm stunned by it.
I mean, you know, to be honest with you, I just really don't have. It doesn't. I don't have an opinion on it.
I thought you were down for the brothers.
Oh, I'm definitely down for the brothers.
That don't offend you?
It's idiotic.
You've been holding it down for the brothers for years.
I don't let things like that bother me, though.
I understand that, but this is straight cooning and buffooning. I thought you were gonna hold us down.
Whatever.
I am shocked.
Temperamental Negro lover.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I cannot give you an opinion because, quite frankly, I'm not really that interested. So.
Apparently, that's funny that you should say that. Do you want to hear something interesting? It's been nowhere but the Daily Caller and Yahoo News, this story. Can you believe that? It's been nowhere. It wasn't on Drudge Report today. It was on Breitbart today. Luckily, it ended in the afternoon. But barely any other story, any other networks wanted to cover it. And this is a bombshell. And the woman who released it said that she would have never released it. It would have never, ever come out until Tom Hanks came out and supported Barack Obama. And clearly, it's like partisan. She was like, oh, wait till you see this video. And there you have it. Mary. Not holding it down for the brothers.
Can you get off of that, please?
I'm devastated.
You're the only one that believes that.
In this case, I'm kind of baffled. I mean, because all the things that scream racism out, this is be the one. But I mean, bullhorn. This is bullhorn work.
And Glenn Frey?
And Glenn Frey from the Eagles?
Yeah.
He's walking around saying that James Montgomery handled the Idi Amin account? Word up. Talking about this is...
What?
He said this... Investment banking is not as exciting as
basketball. Well, it's not.
Right, son?
Holy damn.
It's not as exciting as basketball.
Wow. Oh, now you... What? Now you siding with them?
Wouldn't
Mary.
You basketball player?
The man is
an
investment
banker.
He's probably making more money than basketball.
Yeah, I'm about to take that S off your chest. Send you to the tanning parlor.
I mean...
You ain't a superwoman. You play the sucker woman right now.
Wow.
What's up with that? What do you mean, wow?
You had to bring that out of the pocket.
Wow, because you're playing yourself right now. You're supposed to be
I'm
down
playing myself.
For the brothers.
You know what? I know who
you
I
like,
am.
You know, she's still like the Forrest Gump thing.
Yeah, that's what it is. You got to think
clouded,
of Forrest
she's
clouded
by his work,
that's
his entertainment work.
Run, Forrest, run.
This is Mel Gibson proportions.
We're
right
like
here.
Peas and carrots again, Jenna.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You probably. I'm going to check around. I'm going to see if you got some Forrest Gump sitting around.
I may.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay, Jenna.
Don't do that, Forrest.
I'm stuck. My heart is just broken. I'm just broken.
You know, really, I'm just not that interested in the story itself, I guess. Like, I mean, I think I'm so over all this crap that...
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
Woman, this is going on outside your door.
What?
Yeah,
how
I,
is this going on outside of your door?
I would have thought that...
In the world.
Yeah, I know that.
Dang. You got to see
you
this.
You can't wait for December 21st, 2012, can you?
Yeah, exactly.
You are so stupid.
You
got to
see this picture that just got put up.
Wanted
for the murder of Trayvon Martin. Damn. They putting pictures up on Facebook. It's going crazy.
Was this on your wall?
Yeah, it's on my wall now. Just got put up. I'm telling you, it's going nuts. I don't know. This thing is going to explode.
It is, and somebody's going to end up hurting that.
Yeah,
half,
that's why he's got to hide.
Half Jewish, half...
We don't know if he's half Jewish.
He's a Junish.
A Jerishan.
A Jerishan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I got to do this. Hold on.
A Hebrew Rican?
I got to find this. I see you got a song for me. What's the song?
Huh?
Play the song for me.
Where do them hip brothers belong? Where? In the city.
Oh, we got to play it. We'll go to a break. We'll be right back with more news, more views. We got to talk about Bristol Palin and my little exchange with her yesterday when we get back. Patrice on the radio. Stick around. right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message. There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Twenty-six minutes after the hour, Reese on the Radio. on blogtalkradio.com. Be sure to check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com so you can watch the Tom Hanks video for yourself. And tell me what you think. Tell me whether or not racism is applied here. According to the white woman, Mary, Mary, why are you bugging? It does not.
No.
No, what?
Don't try to say that I said something. I never said that.
You said you didn't care.
I said that this story just didn't interest me.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I just...
Okay. Hey, no. Understood. You're just not interested in the story. Okay. I understand. Anyway.
You're such a smart ass.
Now, would you be interested if Ron Zimmerman had shot Tom Hanks?
Yeah, it would have been a huge story.
Yeah, because I would have been like, all right, that's one less vote for Barack Obama.
Whatever. Anyway,
something else.
Bristol Palin, the daughter of Sarah Palin, is in the news because of a blog post that she made. That reads, "Dear President Obama, you don't know my telephone number, but I hope your staff is busy trying to find it. Ever since you called Sandra Fluck after Rush Limbaugh called her a slut, I figured I'd be next. You explained to reporters you called her because you were thinking of your two daughters, Malia and Sasha. After all, you didn't want them to think it was okay for men to treat them that way. One of the things I want them to do as they get older is engage in issues they care about, even ones I may not agree with them on. I want them to be able to speak their mind in civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them to be attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens. And I totally agree your kids should be able to speak their minds and engage the culture. I look forward to seeing what good things Malia and Sasha end up doing with their lives. But here's why I'm a little surprised my phone hasn't rung. Your $1 million donor, Bill Maher, has said reprehensible things about my family. He's made fun of my brother because of his Down syndrome. He said that I was effed so hard a baby fell out. In a classy move, he did this while his producers put up a cover of my book, which tells about the forgiveness and redemption I found in God after my past very public mistakes. If Maher talked about Malia and Sasha that way, you'd return his dirty money to the and the Secret Service would probably have to restrain you. After all, I've always felt you understood my plight more than most because your mom was a teenager. Whoa. That's why you stood up for me when you were campaigning against Senator McCain and my mom. You said vicious attacks on me should be off limits. Which he did. Yet I wonder if the presidency has changed you. Now that you're in office, it seems you're only willing to defend certain women. You're only willing to take a moral stand when you know your liberal supporters will stand behind you. But what if you did something radical and wildly unpopular with your base and took a stand against the denigration of all women, even if they are just single moms, even if they're Republicans? I'm not expecting your super PAC to return the money. You're going to need every dime to hang on to your presidency. I'm not even really expecting a call. But would it be too much to expect a little consistency? After all, you're the president of all Americans, not just liberals."
Nice letter.
Well done, right?
Well done.
Yeah. I'm like,
come on.
Whatever.
I think that's impactful.
It's impactful. I agree. I agree that he should be trying to contact as many as he can since he contacted Fluke. However, I mean, she's probably be like the last person, you know, for that.
Maybe
on behalf of her mom. I mean, they put themselves out there in reality shows, so they're due and bound to take some criticism.
But if I were President Obama under this kind of scrutiny, my first order of business on this subject would be: let me reiterate, my phone call to Sandra Fluck represents any woman on either side of the aisle who has been demeaned by anyone on either side of the aisle.
Well,
and
it
is a representation of all women being attacked maliciously by anyone. And I find
he's
that
surrounded
to be
by
dead.
Snakes. He's surrounded by snakes, so he would have been advised as such.
But why, you know, first of all...
Why does he have to be advised? Why doesn't he advise himself?
Yeah, that's exactly...
He's
what
so
is that
freaking
about?
Intelligent.
Right, there it is. He's the smartest president
they
we've ever had.
They all have advisors. Don't I like that. Like, he's the only one with an advisor. They all have them. Look how they've allowed Bush to
be
an idiot for 8 years.
We know that they have it because that was because it was funny.
What?
Oh, because it was funny. It was comedy then, right?
It was.
No.
Comedy Central. Yeah. No, he should be advising himself.
No, he should have gone right ahead.
Such and such and such and such.
But
he should have gone right ahead and explained that it was for all women, especially when he brought his daughters into it.
He's made this mistake before, though, JC, and the mistake he made before was with the Harvard professor in Boston with the police sergeant. When he said that the police acted stupidly when he first admitted that he didn't know all the facts. He prefaces his statement about the Boston police by saying, I don't have all the facts, but it's clear that the police acted stupidly. Now, how do you make that assessment when you openly admit you don't have all the facts? You know, this is, you know, one of those things where you try to make a stand for something that you're clearly not informed about. You know, look, you know what? I don't have all
the facts. Again, I mean, it's just people... He surrounded himself with everyone that was against him in the campaign to begin with and on the way to getting the nominee. He surrounded himself by snakes. That's why I think in his presidency, that's where he went wrong first.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think what he did was he appointed nothing but cronies who believed in his ideology. I mean, come on, look at Elena Kagan, who's now a Supreme Court justice. You know, she co-wrote Obamacare, and she's a Supreme Court justice. Look at, you know, Sonia Sotomayor. You know, this is the same woman who says that she believes that an experienced Latina woman is more educated than a white man. I mean, these are people who share his ideology. Rahm Emanuel's from Chicago. That was his White House chief of staff, now the mayor of Chicago. He then replaced Rahm Emanuel with Richard Daley, a frickin' Daley, who's from the Daley family, who's been running Chicago for almost 50 years, if not over 50 years. I mean, this guy is hooked up with nothing but his own cronies that he's been surrounded by for years. And this goes down to Chu, Eric Holder, Kathleen Sebelius, I mean, Anita Dunn, who else is there?
His Secretary of State, his Vice President.
Yeah, I mean, not Biden. Biden's not one of his cronies.
Biden's been around for 26 years.
But, you know, come on. This guy's around with people that he quote-unquote trusts. They're all a part of his whole, you know.
I mean, would have his ear more than the Vice President?
Well, actually, I'll tell you, a great example of that was when he started this whole mandate about religious groups giving contraception to people against their religious beliefs. The only person who stepped up and told them that he was going to get a war was Joe Biden.
Really?
And he listened to Kathleen Sebelius instead. Joe Biden was the only one who stood up and said, yeah, people are going to go to war over this. And he ignored Joe Biden. Joe Biden knew that it wasn't the right thing to do.
Well, Joe Biden knows he's about to be out of a job as well anyways. I mean, he's looking for his own run in 2012.
And sure
enough, 2016.
And the one that everybody calls the dumbest man in the White House, Joe Biden, was the one who was right. The one guy he clearly should have paid attention to, he didn't. His political advisors have played partisanship since the beginning. And that's what I think that Bristol Palin is clearly saying here. Look, you've got to remind yourself, you are not a part of a partisan group in the White House. You represent all Americans. And you've been doing nothing but partisan politics since you got there.
But this is someone that's been fighting herself
fighting to get out of her, fighting to stay out of that statistic pool about being an unwed teen mother, when clearly she was. I don't think that she should be the one to make that argument to him.
Well, no.
Her mother should have.
Well, look, she went through public scrutiny you wouldn't believe when...
I know she has.
When she was found out. I mean, if you remember when I was at WRKO, I withdrew my support of Sarah Palin when I found out that she was pregnant. I went through it, and everybody went nuts on my show. I got email after email saying, Reese, you can't do that. What are you talking about? What do you mean? And I said, look, Sarah Palin promotes abstinence, and she's got a pregnant teenage daughter, an unwed pregnant teenage daughter. I was the first one to say it. I said, look, for me, it's about integrity as far as I'm concerned. But she went through a lot of public scrutiny about that, and she did, and she clearly admits that. But she makes a valid point. The things that have been said about her and other conservative women have gone completely unremarked or no remarked by anybody.
Or ignored.
And ignored. And people have made excuses for Bill Maher. They made excuses for Ed Schultz. They made excuses for David Letterman, saying that they're comedians, in essence saying that it's okay to bash women. The Jimmy Fallon fallout with Michelle Bachmann, lion-ass bitch, played by The Roots when she was introduced on the Jimmy Fallon show. This is what they do. But here's the most important part about all of that, is that this president said that he was going to be a president who unites the country. And not one thing he's done is united the country. He's played part of the
And that incident alone with women, that's going to come to bite him in the ass, period.
It already has. But again, everything he's done has been partisan, no matter what the issue. He's been partisan about it. He's never played the middle ground.
Well, regardless, prepare for 4 more years. Because if Romney gets in there, he's not going to be able to beat him.
Listen to me. This country, even if they don't like Mitt Romney, they don't like Obama more.
Yeah.
We'll see.
They don't like him more. Trust me. They don't want more of this. They never – look, people say – I saw this thing today on the Daily Caller, and I wish James were here for that. For this, but I was on the Daily Caller. They showed the top 10 most offensive things during protest about George W. Bush. There were people running out saying, "I want to shoot George W. No, I want to kill George W. Bush. So shoot me." Worst president ever. Posters with a bullet gunshot to his head. Movies produced by Lionsgate about the assassination of George W. Bush, saying another poster saying the only dope worth shooting is Bush. Has there ever been anybody saying that about Barack Obama?
They'll say it after he's gone, because to say it right now would be unpatriotic.
Absolutely, a guy.
Forget unpatriotic. They'd be arrested.
It'd be insane.
Well, how ironic! All of Boston thought when they came and saw you that it was an Obama conspiracy. Boston was ready to kill.
I just find it incredibly odd that not one person has stood up, at least a relevant person has stood up and said to the president during a press conference or whatever, and held him to task. Whatever happened to uniting the country? You're not doing it.
Oh, that's Oprah's job.
Uh-huh.
Once she's done trying to save her fledgling network.
Yeah. Yeah, we might talk about that when we come back. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue.
super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio. On the radio, 43 minutes after the hour, on March the 20th, 2012. And frighteningly enough, it looks like Mitt Romney is going to win Illinois.
Okay, his percentage keeps going down, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny that you mentioned that, because he needs to win.
He was at 52
right.
A couple of minutes ago.
That was when it was 30. Right, when it was 33% of the vote that came in. Now it's up to 45% of the precincts coming in. His percentage is now lowered below 52 points. It's now down to 48. He needs 50% of the vote to win the primary delegates outright.
He's not going to do it.
I don't know. Only 46% coming in. Anything could change. Santorum is gaining some ground with about 34% with Mitt Romney's 48, but it still looks like a clear win. Rick Santorum said he's going to move on. I did hear today that Newt Gingrich is bleeding money, and his campaign is in the red, so that's it's about to be a wrap.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about this whole thing with Malia being in Mexico?
Yeah.
And did you hear about how the White House was telling the press not to report it?
No.
Yeah. Now they want everybody to report it since the earthquake hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. But they're fine.
The earthquake hit in, was it Acapulco? Yeah.
It wasn't Acapulco. It was like X amount of miles outside of Acapulco.
Really? I thought Acapulco was the epicenter.
No, it was not.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Really? You sure?
I'm positive. I read the whole story.
Oh, so where was it?
What
are you keeping it from me for?
Some kind of like O-X-O-L-E-I-N. It's some kind of crazy. I speak Spanish and I couldn't even pronounce the name of the city.
Really?
Yeah. Pull it up. You'll see where it's
at. They said it was the biggest since 2003. It hit 7.4 on the Richter scale. And so now all of a sudden it's a story. I don't think that anybody in the news really cared. Here's why. Because every news report I heard, they said, the earthquake hit Mexico. But the only thing they seemed to care about was, it didn't seem to affect California or any of the United States. I mean, when the earthquake hit Haiti and when the earthquake hit Chile and the earthquake hit Japan, the news media went nuts and covered it. You got to get somebody down there.
And it was like a 7 point something that hit Japan.
Yeah. I mean, just recently, in fact. But nobody seemed to be rushing down to Mexico. Does nobody care? I thought that would have been a big deal. I mean, that doesn't seem to make any sense to me. That baffles. But you said, okay, let's see what town this was that you said it took place. But they said it rocks Mexico City. But I could have sworn that this was in Acapulco.
It was not.
Not even near it?
No, it was X amount of miles away from it. It was something in the hundreds or something.
Well, I would have gathered, because that when I saw it, it looked
it look like that.
I saw that red dot on Acapulco.
Yeah,
that's the reason why I assumed that.
No.
Huh. It's odd in and of itself.
Okay.
Let me see.
Scroll down.
Report as soon as I can. I don't know why, but the computer's not letting me scroll or do anything today. There we go. All right. Saying strong earthquake damaged hundreds of homes in southern Mexico Tuesday.
East of Opatepec, Guerrero.
That was the thing that you couldn't pronounce? That looks like Ometepec.
Ometepper.
Yeah, Ometepec.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is the thing.
But I could have sworn that it was right near Acapulco. But
they'll tell you how far away it was. Go down.
Excusez-moi. Yes, we have dead air.
This is it. Oaxaca.
Yeah. Anyway, right here it says residents rushed to the streets after feeling the
trembler
of Mexico City, about 200 miles away from the epicenter. Tourists and residents also felt the earthquake in a resort city of Acapulco. So, okay, I guess they felt
it. Yeah, if they felt it, it just wasn't the epicenter.
Yeah, but I don't even know why they put it in there like that. But okay, but you know,
because they wanted to make news. Acapulco, people go, oh, Acapulco, Mexico. Yeah, we know, you know. Right. They're not going to say Oaxaca, Mexico.
That was the pronunciation you got from that?
I think.
Anyway, in more important news, look at me, I'm just moving right on from it anyway. Okay. Tim Tebow
is going...
Oh, don't say it, because we don't know yet.
Is going gone to the New York Jets.
We don't know yet whether or not he's going to the Jets. But, of course, after all of my pontificating a week ago about whether or not Peyton Manning was going to go to the Jets, and I'm screaming, J-E-T-S, whatever. He goes, of course, to the Denver Broncos for a five-year, $94, $95 million deal. He's gone. He's had his press conference today at 3 o'clock. We watched it, so no big deal. But then the report is, of course, where's Tim Tebow going? And whether or not Tim Tebow is going to be the backup, and whether or not Peyton Manning is going to be teaching him how to play football. John Elway refuses to talk about where this is going. But now, all of a sudden, CBS News in New York is now saying that the Jets are seriously considering bringing Tim Tebow to the Jets. Good fit or not?
Mark Sanchez. Ciao, senor.
Oh, come on. He's not leaving. He's got a deal. He's going to keep the deal, but...
Okay, so Mark Sanchez. Toma sentado aquí.
What does that even mean?
Take a seat right here. Tranquilo.
Calm down. Siéntate aquí, mira. Necesito ayuda para lograr para los 50 de la grabación.
Yeah, Telemundo, whatever. Listen, I don't...
Telemundo, tranquilo.
I don't know any
tranquilo,
of that.
Tranquilo, relax.
But my point is, if the Jets do get him, okay, I'm not excited as I was when Brett Favre got there. I'm not excited as, you know, I was when there was a possibility that Peyton Manning might go there. But, that being said, I do believe that Tim Tebow brings something exciting to the offense. Here's what it is that I think, and why I think it's exciting that he goes there.
Womp, womp, womp.
No, come on. No,
because it's the Jets.
No. I'm thinking about this from a game and offensive perspective.
And a fan perspective.
And a fan, but I'm thinking about this as a football fan.
Even as a business perspective.
Well, the business perspective, forget about it. He's going to bring that Tim Tebow love, respect,
mania.
Whatever that mania is going to go down to the Jets. That's fine. But here's where
him and Lynn in the same city.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Now that you're right. That is another. That's another factor. But here's what I'm talking about on a football standpoint, from a football perspective. The one problem that the Jets had last season was that Mark Sanchez could not stay in the pocket because the pocket was collapsing too often on Mark Sanchez, who is a pocket passer. And he was awful in running outside of the pocket and getting the ball out of his hand. Tim Tebow is a quarterback / halfback. And he can turn that, and he's left-handed. So he's got a little bit of the Michael Vick in him. He can run through a collapsed pocket, which makes it a very interesting perspective for the Jets' offense, is that they don't have to dedicate themselves to protecting the quarterback when they have a quarterback who can run through the pocket and make plays, get you 5-6 yards down the field on a 1st and 10 or a 2nd and 9.
Why wouldn't they have to worry about that? That's their job. That's
it is their
job,
but it's why they had the biggest problem. If you've got a quarterback who can scramble in and out of the pocket, who's that kind of player, he can not only make a first down if he has to, but he can throw the ball because he knows when to throw the ball. That's what he did at Florida. That's what he did for the Florida Gators, and he made things happen by throwing that ball on the run. It's what it is that he can do. Where Michael Vick, on the other hand, will not throw the ball and run the play himself. I mean, the guy, every time he plays, the guy's got more running yards than his running back as a quarterback. So a guy like Tim Tebow can really, really make something happen while he's running. He plays like that. He's a natural player in that scenario. So that's
less pressure on the offense.
Less pressure on the offensive line. You know, right. These guys can keep their, you know, do their jobs, and they can create schemes that a guy like Tim Tebow can play. So it gives them the essence of having a quarterback who can play running back, and they have a quarterback in Mark Sanchez who can really, really throw the ball when he has to or when he's protected well. That's all. That's why I think it's a good fit. I'm not excited about it, as I would be. I've got to see the guy
yes,
play.
Yes, you are excited.
No, I'm not. I'm not excited.
You know what? When he saw this story pop up, he kind of screamed a little.
Oh, stop it. I did not scream a little.
Like a little girl.
Oh, now that definitely. Anyway, I think if Tim Tebow's going anywhere, if it's not to the Jets, I think he's going to Jacksonville. It's northern Florida. It gets him back home to the people who love him and adore him and who really, really want him back home. So that's where I think he's going to end up going if he doesn't indeed go to the Jets. I don't think that Jet fans in any way are really all that excited about him going, but in the event that he does, I think it'll be a good fit, and I think they could really work it if they have a great offensive coordinator, which they do, in Tony Sperano, who is in the Miami and who's going up to the Jets. Now, that being said, you did see this quote, right? That John Elway said in touting Tim Tebow. He says, Tim Tebow is a great football player. He's a great person. He's a guy I'd let marry my daughter.
Wow.
Which is what, in my view, is like, okay, so, and what are we talking about here? Like, okay, we get it. Yes, he's a wholesome kind of guy. Of course he's the kind of guy you let marry your daughter. He's that kind of a guy. But it plays no role in where he is going to play football or how he's going to play football in the future. So I found that odd, and I have no idea why they brought it up, but it's dumb. Anyway, hey, JC, have you shown any interest in the iPad HD yet?
None.
None?
None.
Not one bit? Do you have any one of those devices?
None.
Okay. I just wanted to ask because I'm not interested in it either. How about you?
No.
I thought at least one of you guys were going to be like technological, like, hordes.
How do we get the iPad from
No,
football?
But I don't have any of
I'm
that.
I'm sorry?
Oh, so how do we get from iPad to from football?
The football thing is over with.
I know that
I was kind of excited that we
have
Ed Hartford playing in Hartford.
What did you just say?
Ed Hartwell.
Who the heck is that?
He used to play for, he used to play for Atlanta, he used to play for the Raiders.
Why is he playing in Hartford?
With the Hartford Colonials.
Oh, they're nobodies.
What do you mean they're nobodies?
Look, we're talking NFL, not fake NFL.
No, I'm talking UFL.
Not FFL.
Yeah, exactly.
XFL.
Yeah, XFL.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, wait, hold on. There's a great question. Were you a fan of that damn league?
I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it.
I have to admit, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I thought
what
it was
his name? He so what?
No. He hate me.
She hate me.
He hate me.
What crap is that?
You know, he ended up playing for the NFL. He ended up playing for the Carolina Panthers.
Did he?
Yes, he did. He had an NFL career. And he was pretty good.
Oh. Or he took Ray Caruso's spot?
I don't know who he ended up leaving with. Anyway, let's get out of here. Somebody find out where the heck Montgomery was today.
He probably is mad because neither one of us answers our phones last night.
He called like midnight to talk to us. Oh, you know what? I want to get into this tomorrow. JC, if you get a chance, go to Drudge Report. I want you to watch the video of the postman who claims that Barack Obama is a foreigner.
The what?
Okay. A postman who claims that William Ayers' family was supporting a foreigner who he believes was Barack Obama when they were trying to get him into Harvard University. He's their postman. He's got a 26-year record with the post office and has a stellar record. And he's given an affidavit in the investigation by Joe Arpaio in Arizona into the credibility of Obama's citizenship. So if you go to Drudge Report, it's in the third column near the bottom. It says, postman claims Ayers' family put foreigner Obama through school, and there is a video of his testimony.
Wow.
Yeah. So you have to watch the video. I'm going to watch it tomorrow, and I'm going to get some clips from it, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow, all right?
Oh, tomorrow?
You're going to leave my damn president alone.
Yeah, so if James is here, he'll definitely be a part of it.
I've got to stand in for him.
Yeah, that's okay. Just support Obama no matter what happens.
I don't plan on making $250,000 no time soon.
Oh, God, JC.
All right, that's our show. We will see you tomorrow.
On hump day tomorrow.
Yeah, not today. It's Peace on the Radio. Have a good one.
Good night, folks.